Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Welcome inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli.
Hey, JP, real quick.
Hi, Tony.
Is this a new chair?
No, that is an old chair, in fact.
It's an old, but it can be new to you.
It looks new to me.
Yeah, it can be new to you.
We've got a lot of chairs in here to choose from. I don't know if you got it.
We get all the leftovers in here.
That's the way it works.
I don't think there's ever been a new chair in this studio since 1995.
Right. We have an original TV in here.
You
too,
got one?
Actually.
Oh, yeah. How new is that?
Joe's got one.
Like recently new,
yeah,
Joe?
About a year old or so.
2 years ago. Okay, so that's the first time that this studio has ever gotten a new chair. It was 2 years ago Joe got one.
It's the worst open to a show ever in the history, right? What are we doing?
I really don't think so.
That was Joe's pay raise, that chair.
What do you want to watch TV? You got some baseball you want to see?
No, U.S. Open.
The Red Sox are on, right?
Who cares about the Red Sox? You know the only team worse than the Red Sox?
The Phillies. That's true.
They won today.
That's true.
2-1 over the Orioles.
First time in 10 games.
Yes, it is.
Did Jeff Francois pitch again?
Is.
No, he didn't. Oh, it's too bad. Plenty to get to.
Is Philadelphia right now the worst sports city in America?
In everything, yeah.
Because they're the worst basketball team in America.
Yes.
In the NBA. Arguably the worst baseball team in MLB.
No, it is. Statistically, they are the worst.
And hockey they struggled this year, didn't they?
They didn't make the playoffs.
You're not making the playoffs
in hockey. You're bad.
And the Flyers usually make it every year.
That's 3 out of 4. And it's very possible you could see an epic collapse out of the Eagles.
No doubt.
We'll get your thoughts on that
you
tonight,
might
too. 3-5-5.
You might want to move, Joe.
Santa Claus may be at a different stadium come Christmas time.
Joe Fortunato.
Instead of at the Lincoln Financial, formerly the Vet.
Our producer is a huge Philadelphia fanatic. Plenty to get to. Off-season program is over. Where does the team stand now? We'll talk about Blake Bortles' progress also.
Yep.
And which position groups have improved already and which
has
something to prove.
That's premature.
We'll get to that coming up. And, of course, we'll go around the National Football League. So, today, the final minicamp practice, in air quotes, lasted around an hour or so. No helmets. More of a walkthrough today.
Can I just make one thing? We're not going to call it a practice again.
Okay.
Because you don't practice football if you don't wear a helmet.
Is
that fair, Jeff?
That was a walkthrough.
I mean, can you practice football without a helmet?
You can walk through.
No. I said, can you – like when we played, you had walkthroughs, you had practice. Those are two different things. Can you have a practice
– If we're talking about practice, that would not qualify as a practice.
That's all I'm saying. So let's call it something else. Call it walkthrough.
But, you know, the best part about it was
– last minicamp walkthrough.
Last walkthrough was today.
The best part about it was that
– by the way, I'm fine with. I'm not being critical. I mean, whatever you need to do.
The fan attendance was spectacular.
Around 1,200 today.
I mean, I think that's the strongest showing that I have seen yet.
Were people upset? I wasn't –
No, I don't know I if people were upset they didn't practice.
No, I heard
because
the players
the best
stayed
part.
And signed autographs
that's,
forever.
That's the best
which is
part.
Awesome. Gus, this is all they want anyways. That's why the fans are here.
Right.
You know, Gus, I think, did a great thing in that after the walkthrough, Gus grabbed the microphone and thanked all the fans for coming out and talked to them. Hey, look, you know, we've always wanted to connect with the fans, and they had every player got a Sharpie, and the fans lined up and they had their autograph books and lots of kids and stuff, and it was cool. I mean, the fans got to get plenty of autographs.
I
got to
be honest with you. If I brought my kids and took off work for this to watch a practice, and when I first got here, like, oh, no, they're not practicing, I'd be upset. But my kids would be happier that they didn't practice and they all signed autographs for – because that's what the young – I mean, they want – and Gus is right. They want to connect. And so, like, on the onset, you probably think, oh, gosh, fan day, and they change it from a practice to a walkthrough. That could be really bad. Gus is – I mean, whoever thought to say, listen, we're going to turn this into a positive, and we're going to stay out there. Everybody's going to stay out there. Because you know, Jeff and JP, You know, usually just a handful of guys are signing autographs and everyone else is sneaking through. Like, Logs is sneaking through trying to get
– He's a sneak-through guy.
No.
He's trying to sneak through. Tony, where I stop and sign, he sneaks through. And so –
We've got to bring back some witnesses for that comment.
The fact that everybody stayed, that's what the young fans want. And even a lot of the older fans. I mean, if you like autographs – and here's the cool thing. I was making fun of them not wearing helmets. But the cool thing is when they don't have helmets on, you like you get to know them a little bit. There's a little interaction. So good. That's a great – I'm glad Gus did that. And
all right, let me go ahead and react to Tony's statement. Because,
no,
you know,
I think we're moving on to the next topic.
No, there's a good story here.
Next topic.
There's a good story here. I remember –
I can't wait to hear
No, I remember when I was in high school, and I worked at a tuxedo shop, and it was Tuxedo International.
Okay. Yeah. What did you do with this tuxedo shop?
I was the guy that rented tuxes.
He spent all the money he made from that – at a fast food restaurant next door.
I did. I was making like, maybe $6 an hour.
Right.
Okay. And when you average about a Whopper with cheese every hour, mm-hmm. you're not making any
Loser
money.
Loser money.
Okay. So I wasn't making any money. Not Plus on top gas. Of the gas to be able to get there, which was about a good 35-minute drive. But my dad's good friend, Pedro Martinez, was the boss, vice president.
Nope.
Getting inducted next
month. Not that one.
Different guy.
Great fastball.
Pedro was a good friend of the family, and he hired me, and I had a good job and didn't make any money except for pennies. So, you know, food bill was kind of large.
Okay.
And I remember, you know, I would take measurements for people for wedding parties and for them to get fitted for a tuxedo. And one day, Jeff Bostic came in. Okay, the starting center of the Washington Redskins, the infamous center of the Hogs.
Is this story going somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Pedro said, hey, Jeff wants you to meet this young guy here that works here at a store. You know, his name is Jeff Logan. He plays high school football at Parkview High School. And Jeff Bostic totally blew me off. Totally blew me off. Yeah, I'm a high school kid, for God's sake.
Is that why you blow people off constantly?
So, needless to say, a few years later, I make it to the NFL, and we had practices with the Washington Redskins in Pennsylvania.
Nice. Please tell me the story ends with you taking a cheap shot on Jeff Bostic.
So, you know, before we get started at practice day, Jeff Bostic, the grizzled veteran that he is, right. You know, he's out reading the newspaper, hanging out in the bleachers before we go to practice. And I went and sat next to him. I said, hey, Jeff. I said, I'm Jeff Logman. I play for the Jets. He says, yeah, you're the first-round pick. I said, yeah. So I said, you know, I said, I always wanted to, you know, hope to catch up with you at some point. And he said, oh, that's cool. I said, yeah, I'm from Sterling. You know, and Sterling, Virginia was right close to where the Redskins facility was
right
at.
Right there.
So I said, you know, I said, also, I used to work at Fair Oaks Mall. Worked at Tuxedo International. He goes, yeah, I know where that is. I said, yeah, you certainly do. I said, because I remember when I was there working as a kid, you totally blew me off and wouldn't even give me an autograph or anything like that.
And what did he say?
He just kind of stuttered and stammered, and I just walked away. But I remember that day. From that point on, I'll never forget with that moment. Yeah. I mean, basically set something in my mind that never turned down an autograph for kids. And that's what I tried to convey to Tony and Mark, but it didn't work.
I always stopped to sign autographs
because of that story encounter with Jeff Bostic. Okay. I tried to train Tony. Okay.
The young puppy coming from USC.
See, he tried to do reversal. That's what you call reversal in wrestling. Reversal. It didn't work. Let me block it. Because the reality is two things. He never told that story once to me until just now. So he didn't try to train
me. I tried to train him without story.
And secondly, it's easy to sign all the autographs when there's like three requests a day. It's not difficult.
So now he's making excuses for not signing the autograph.
I signed.
He had 20 and I had 3.
I signed. You're crazy. I actually have.
See the defensive side of him crawling up here?
I can see that.
Okay. Where's the truth and who is stopping to sign autographs
Can I tell an autograph story?
Go ahead.
Is this okay, Joe?
Go ahead, please.
Kush, we have visiting producer.
Just go for it. Please.
So
let's hear it. I can't wait.
You know, my pet peeve, I had a couple pet peeves.
More than a couple.
All right, a couple. One was if I was like mid-bite with family eating dinner and someone like tapped me on the shoulder, asked for an autograph as I got the fork in my hand, I'd got a little frustrated.
That's bad timing.
Bad timing.
Have some etiquette.
And I just said, could you wait till after dinner? And I'll sign. Because I would. But like mid-bite, tap. I get an autograph. I'm like, can we wait? But so that happened a few times. People are excited. I get it. I'd always try to sign the autographs. But my favorite all-time autograph story is I'm at the Jacksonville Zoo. Great zoo. Love our zoo. And it's for my 2 or 3 year old's birthday party. I can't remember how old he was. Oldest son. And, you know, when it's your first, your wife thinks like they, like, I try to explain to her, the kid's like 2. He's not going to remember if he had a birthday party or not. So do we really have to have a birthday party? But yes, but so it becomes a birthday party for a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds and their moms. And she held it on a day off because he had an August birthday, so she actually waited till we have a day off in camp. It's hotter than you know what. And we're going to have this birthday party at the Jacksonville Zoo. You rent a little room, and then you take all the 2 year olds around and watch animals. And so I'm the only guy there. It's all moms. Every other player who has a day off is sitting in the air conditioning, and I'm out there. And so I got all these 2 year olds, and we're walking around, and I got kids all over me. I mean, my kids. I mean, my own kid I'm watching, holding his hand, and his little buddies that he doesn't even know who they are, but they're there. And this mom, this lady, probably in her 30s, comes, taps on the shoulder, and says, can I have your autograph? Now, you and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. If you sign one autograph in a crowded place like that, you open the floodgates because now you're open for business.
That can happen.
It can happen. And we were at the Jacksonville Zoo, so it was really crowded. So this is what I said to her. I said, ma'am, any other time I would love to. I'm here at my 2-year-old son's birthday party who I'm holding his hand, and I got all these 2-year-olds around me. Any other time I'll do it. Any other time, but right now, I'm just, if I start.
Were you that diplomatic?
Yes, I was really nice, Jeff. I promise. Like, there's times I've been a jerk. This wasn't one of them. I was actually nice. I can be a jerk. I get that. But this was not one of them. So she kind of storms off and whatever. I'm with my kids. Birthday party. And so I'm at the snake exhibit like 5 minutes later. And I'm like, you know, the snake you can kind of see on the other side. You can hear. And somewhere I'm coming around the corner and this lady doesn't see me.
The same one.
Same one. And okay. She's talking to her friend. And her friend goes to him and says, hey, did you see that Mark Brunell's here? And she goes, yeah. I asked him for an autograph, and he said no because he's at his kid's birthday. He's a real A blank. And I said, he sure is.
You bet he is. That's awesome.
Yeah, true story.
That's fantastic.
I'm like, perfect. I said, boy, if she thinks I'm Mark Brunell, how big does she think I am?
Tony's probably got a worse reputation around town because when people come up to me and say, hey, Tony, would you sign an autograph? I'm like, heck no.
I've done that to other people too. All the time. I'm much better looking than Jeff, but people are all the time, I love your fishing show. Have we been catching anything lately? I'm like, yeah, I really don't fish. Yeah, you do. I listen to you all the time. Yeah, it's all make-believe. I don't really like it.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. When we return, a little talk about Blake Bortles, where the quarterback stands heading into his second season. Phone lines open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Welcome back. Phone lines open. We'll get some calls coming up shortly. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Jeff Lagerman, the autographing former Jaguars, are here tonight. The offseason program is done, so there's about 5 weeks before training camp begins. I think the veterans report on the 30th of July, and the team's on the field the next day, the 31st. So 5-ish weeks until the team is back. But there are certain rules. Obviously, in the offseason, it's an offseason for a reason, so the collective bargaining agreement that was agreed on a few years ago, you can only have very limited interaction between coaching staff and player. though players are allowed to come in and work out in the facility itself, there are still some certain rules.
And the reason why I wanted to kind of get this information out there was Blake Bortles was asked, okay, what are you going to do now that the mini camp is over with and there's this break? And Blake had said, look, you know, I'm gonna be in town, probably take a week off and do whatever. He said, but I'll be here working out and getting ready for training camp. And so a lot of people may have the thirst for knowledge of what exactly a player is allowed or not allowed to do if he stays here to work out. And so
we're thirsty for knowledge.
Well, went and pulled up page 134 of the collective bargaining agreement.
Jeff's a big collective bargaining agreement guy.
To, I can see that.
Yeah. He helped write it.
To be able to specifically say exactly what they are and are not allowed to do. And I'll just read the beginning part and then just kind of paraphrase some other things.
I think you should read the whole paragraph.
This is no, I don't want to do that.
It's only 100.
Can we get another hour from
radio's turning off? And this is Section 6, pre-training camp period, okay, which is the – and it explains it. During the period beginning with the end of the off-season program and ending with the mandatory reporting date for preseason training camp, no player shall be permitted to participate in any organized workouts or organized football activity of any kind, or any football activity with any coach on either a voluntary or involuntary basis in connection with or on behalf of the club or a club affiliate. So there cannot be anything that happens between a player and a coach and a football at all from now until the mandatory report date. Now there
or
are
an affiliate. So technically you and I, Jeff, couldn't even work with people.
No. Now here's the other thing.
I guess we'd be an affiliate.
What is the definition of an affiliate?
I guess it's a gray area. But here's the thing.
John Osier, is he an affiliate?
Well, who really wants to work with John? But here's the thing. It's not really an issue, Jeff, because the coaches aren't even here for the next 6 weeks. It's not like the coaches are hanging out.
Right, it's vacation time
They're
for everybody.
They're on vacation. Yeah. So Blake is here. Then Greg Olson's hanging out at the facility. Not here. No one's here. It's empty. The only people here are the three of us and – Well, Joe and JP won't even be here next week. It's going to be me and you and Kush. The only people here are going to be us.
We'll be hanging out every Thursday night.
I'll be upstairs. I'll be here.
All right, so let me get to the bottom of the paragraph. It says, notwithstanding the above, which there's a bunch of stuff in here about the mandatory report date in which injured players, yeah, quarterbacks can report 5 days early. It says, nothing in this section shall prevent any player from using any club facility, subject to league rules and club's permission, to work out on his own at any time on a voluntary basis without the participation of any coach, trainer, or other club personnel. So if the players want to come in and work out, they can work out. And if a player wants to come in and get treatment, they can get treatment.
And Milo can be there to supervise making
for
sure
safety.
No one gets hurt. Yes,
for safety reasons only. Milo is Thomas Linsky, the Jaguars' strength and conditioning coach.
I guess he's still on vacation, though, too.
Probably for some period of time, but they will have one of the strength coaches here to be able to monitor for safety reasons. So if the player wants to come in and work out, they can be there for safety reasons, but they can't instruct the players on how they work out. The players are allowed to go out to the practice field and run, but they can't have a coach out there with them. They can't take a football out there with them. So if Blake Bortles wants to grab, you know, Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and go out to the practice field with a football, they can't do that.
Yeah, that's why they go to the local high schools.
So they have to go somewhere else.
Hypothetically, they could go somewhere else.
No, they
right.
do.
Yes.
No, it's not hypothetically.
Right.
They do.
But, yes. That's right. I'm with you.
Well, then why'd you say hypothetically?
Because I said that because if they were to suggest, if the team were to suggest you can go to a certain place to do it, hypothetically, they can go somewhere else. So they choose Bishop Kenny, right?
Or wherever it is
safe.
That they want to go.
They do, but it's not a hypothetical situation. It's an actual situation.
Yes.
So to make sure that
just, you know,
listening audience understands that it actually happens.
I know. Yeah, it works there.
Not hypothetically.
We got a bunch
actually.
Of lawyers now. Just make sure we're all clean.
But I mean, it's
got a
crazy
CBA guy right here.
CBA guy.
That you, I mean, you really have to have almost, you know, a lawyer background.
That's how we have Walshy.
And that's why you have people that, I mean, their job is to be able to interpret the collective bargaining agreement to make
Bend
sure
it,
that there are no violations.
Get in the gray areas of it and not get in trouble.
And then, you know, if the ones that have the training and the expertise in it, if there is a gray area that a coach or a player is confused on, they can go and ask the question to make sure that they're not in violation. Because the last thing in the world you want to do is during this downtime is to violate a rule and end up getting penalized a draft pick. That would not be good.
No.
But it's kind of crazy to me that and we've said this for a number of years is that you have these rules in place, but here's the thing. There's not a safer place to work out for a player than this facility right here. Now I'm talking weight room. The fields out here are tremendous. I mean, they're fantastic fields. They're level playing surface. I mean, I remember working out on my own way back in the day, and you try to find your own place to work out or your own place to run, or if I was a wide receiver quarterback, to be able to throw and catch footballs. I mean, the facilities weren't all that great.
Yeah, some high school fields could be kind of choppy, for sure.
Oh, heck, you know? Around here, a lot of high school fields now have the field turf. They're perfect. Well,
they're immaculate.
Well, that's true, too.
It's like... But back in the day,
back
when you were
in the
playing,
day,
I mean, I was in a cow pasture
back in the, with leather helmets and everything.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Three days,
single bars.
That's right.
That a lot single of bar face mask, not yeah, like single I'm, bars serve beer.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Well, you did both.
Cigarettes at halftime.
Back in the day,
yeah,
smoking
the whole thing. Yeah,
Marlboro Lights.
That's right. We'll take a break coming up, but quickly before that, we'll get to calls coming up next segment. Blake Bortles, just in general. Compare if it's a totally different Blake Bortles from this time last year to this year, and the ball doesn't flutter as much.
Yeah, and everybody always says,
"Is he better?
How is his mechanics better? Is the footwork better?" Look, yeah, I'm not a mechanics footwork expert. To me, I look at the result. The balls are tighter. They have more velocity. They have more accuracy. So whatever it is that he's doing, mechanics wise, footwork wise, that he's working with. Greg Olson and the rest of the coaching staff, and whatever he did in the offseason to go to that coach,
Tom House,
yes. It's working. I mean, he's clearly taking a step up. But, you know, all that being said, you still want to see the pads on. You still want to see preseason. You still want to see games. You still want to see when the lights are turned on, how he plays and how the rest of the unit plays. But everything that you have seen so far in the OTAs, I think he hit a little bit of a lull at the end of the OTA practices, but then minicamp, I thought it got much better again, which, you know, typically happens for a young player that's getting better. You have, you know, the ups and downs a little bit, and I think he ended up on a strong note. So it's all encouraging, but you still want to see when the lights turn on.
I think he obviously looks better, and you'd hope, you know, heck, if he didn't look better, we'd be panicking right now. I mean, second-year quarterback, you third overall pick, you got to get better. And had, you know, kind of shaky end as far as, you know, some of the mechanical things we talked about. He's obviously worked on him, and give him credit and give Greg Olson credit about how he's installed things, because obviously Blake looks, you know, more comfortable than he did at any point last year in the offense. So, yeah, good, but I'm with Jeff. It's early, you know. I try not to get too excited about anything this time of year. Because it's like, okay, great, you know, hey, you know, they, you know, Yeldon looks good. Okay, well, what does that mean? He's running around with a helmet and nothing else on, and no one's hit him yet. You know, it's like, oh, you know, hey, boy, our young secondary is really taking the next step. Well, okay, yeah, they look better, but, I mean, it's OTAs, it's mini camps. I mean, and I'm not being critical. It's part of the process, and you have to do it. But I just – it's almost like I get tired of getting, you know, too worked up one way or another about running around with a helmet on, nothing else, let alone no helmet.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, listen, I thought it was good work. I think the most encouraging thing to me is how the offense reacted to the new system. It didn't seem like there was major issues communication-wise, MAs – you know, which is misassignments and, you know, jumping off sides or questions or guys playing slow because they're not sure, or Blake and receivers not being on the same page. I thought it looked pretty seamless. I mean, I'll say this. I think right now we look better where we are as far as an offense after Greg Olson being here, you know, 5 months than we did last year at this time after Jed being here a year and 3 months. And that's not a shot at Jed. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, now we have better players, too. That helps.
Yeah, and they're a year older.
Yeah. I mean, so, but give Greg Olson and his staff some credit because they, you know, they've done a good job of installing. You know, so far, so good. But, boy, it's so dang early, JP. Let's not get too excited.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jags season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets. Or call and speak to an account manager at 633-2000. Phone lines are lit up. We'll go through the phone calls when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Got to mention, you mentioned Mark Brunell earlier at the autograph signing at the zoo incident, right? He will be the host of the All-Pro Dads, Fathers, and Kids Experience at Everbank Field. That's next Saturday, the 27th. Visit allprodad.com for more info and to register. $15 per family here at Everbank Field. So that's
coming
up.
Good event. I'm out of town that day, so I was going to try to attend to that, but it's a very cool deal.
I'm visiting with Mark tomorrow afternoon, actually, for a piece on Jaguars.com coming up to preview that as well.
All right, before we go anywhere, I got to go ahead and give Tony this piece of information, get his thoughts real quick.
Uh-oh.
Because we talked about, can you have a practice without helmets?
Yes, that's my question.
Okay. Dr. John York, co-chair of the 49ers and chairman of the NFL's Health and Safety Advisory Committee, believes that in the future, helmets eventually could become a thing of the past.
Like games and everything?
He said, "Can I see a time without helmets? Yes," York told the BBC. "It's not around the corner, but I can see it." And I remember Vic Ketchman, you know, who was senior writer of Jaguars.com, senior editor of Jaguars.com for many years, used to say he always said that the league is eventually going to take the face mask off or take the helmets away. And I'm like, you're crazy.
Well, you can't take the face mask away without changing the helmet because you can't have a hard shell helmet with no face mask.
Yeah. So, and here's the co-chair of the NFL.
Guess what?
Health and Safety
Advisory. No, they won't. You want to know why they're not going to?
It's not football.
It's not football, and people love violence. People love when people get knocked out. I don't care what the doctors and the media and all the, you know, let's put the political correct stuff aside. People like when other people get knocked out. I'm not saying you should spear or lead with the top of your helmet, but people like a good forearm to the chest and the guy lands on the top of his head. I mean, come on. I mean, am I wrong?
Yeah, you're right. Boxing, MMA, all that stuff is violent.
I would go the other way. If I was in charge, which is not going to happen, especially after I say this, but if I was commissioner, I'd go the other way, Jeff. I'd actually get with the union and say, listen, guys, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to pay your money, and I'd convince the owners, maybe we give an extra percent to the players or 2% of what, because this is what we're going to do. We're going to get everyone to sign a waiver, and guess what? We're going back to where you just knock the heck out of each other. Now, if you lead with the top of your head, you're going to get a fine or whatever. But you can knock a receiver who goes across the middle. There's no such thing as defensive receiver. And if you get a concussion, we're going to take you out. But if it leads to long-term effects, you know what you're signing up for. And if you don't want to sign up for that, no one has. This is not, you know, communist Russia where you're like forced and you're put on some, you know, up in Siberia having to do this.
You're crazy.
No, I'm telling you what. You off the charts. TV. I mean, people would love
Tony's going to start a new league.
No, you can't start a new league.
Wasn't that the XFL? Isn't that what that was?
You can't start a new league because all the good players in the NFL. You admit what football is. It's a tough, violent sport. And you just say, this is what we're doing. We'll put bigger face masks. Let Mr. York take the face masks off of his league. I'll put better face masks on, and we'll be knocking people out. We'll see what they watch.
All right, you think you've heard Tony Baselli talk enough, but you haven't until Terrence gets on the line from the north side. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, guys. Hey, I went out there today, and, I was upset, but I love this regime too much to come on here. Y'all know I would rip them, but I'm not going to do that. So I end up getting a pair of gloves from Ryan Davis and a bucket hat from Bernard Pierce, so that kind of made up for it. But I don't understand, the last 2 years everything been open, but if it's going to be a difference, I know it's an important year, so if it's going to be a difference of 5 wins to have everything closed, then I guess they got to do what they got to do. But yeah, initially I was upset, but I'm all right. So I just wanted to, you know, get your take. I just want them to keep things up on up, you know. If you're gonna not have a practice, you know, just let everybody know that, you know, it's not gonna be a practice, you know. So But I think it was a on this
Terrence, I think it was a last minute. It was a last minute decision.
You got 100 degree heat for 2 days in a row. 150 degrees. I don't think this was planned, but
and the OTAs have never been open. Actually,
no, never.
So they're never open.
No, and many camps have never been open for its entirety, as far as I know.
Right. So this is
they've usually picked a day out, which is what they did today.
And there'll be plenty of training camp practices.
Let me tell you this: there's no team in the league that opens more things to the public than this football team right here.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right. And you might get Tony Boselli's autograph next time out.
I sign Jeff Dodges.
If you ask me for Tony Boselli's autograph, you'll get a nice response.
Problem right there. Logging it makes me look bad.
Speaking of that, David in Arlington wants to talk autographs. What's up, David?
Hey, Tony. Hey, everybody. Just a comment about Tony signing autographs and even Jeff signing.
Thank you, David.
Boys down to the training camp, the first one down here in 96. And we were down there on a day just like today, and I know how miserable it was. And a lot of the players were walking off, and Tony's walking off, and that's when they had y'all walk down the middle, and fans were on either side.
Tony's nervous right now, David.
Yeah, he's scratching his head. He can't remember. He didn't know if it was going to be good or bad.
Well, you could tell the players that were going to sign autographs. It didn't. Tony walked right down the middle of that walkway with his helmet on, and if you saw the helmet on, you knew what was going on, and you could just see Tony talking to himself,
validation.
Don't make eye contact, And then a few minutes later, here comes Loggeman with the helmet on, don't make eye contact.
Oh! That's right!
So we're all hollering, because Loggeman was really the face of the franchise.
Yeah, he was. Yes, I was actually getting yelled at that day. I remember, David, I couldn't make it over there.
Awesome.
But that first year here, Brunell, and I was just so happy with him. He went from one side to the other,
to the other.
that was early. That was 96.
When he got good, he forgot all about you guys.
I took my boys back down for the training camp of 99.
Let me, David, for real, and I will tell you this: there were certain days, and Tony, you'll remember this.
Yeah, there was.
There were certain days that certain position groups were not allowed to stop and sign
because we had to go work
mandatory
out.
Mandatory lifting.
There was mandatory lifting, so the big guys.
So you worked out a lot, Tony, is what you're saying.
No. It was obviously a mandatory working day because Jeff and I both didn't do it. But what are the chances?
I mean, when they had the big guys, if all the big guys passed you up at the same time, that was the reason why.
And that's why. But also, I will say this. In the 7 years, seven training camps here, I guess six is one with Stevens Point. I think there was.
No, we had a training camp here that year, too.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So seven. I forgot. So seven training camps, 7 years. I think there was probably a day and a half where I didn't sign autographs in 7 years.
Well, you were allowed to.
This guy caught you twice.
No, 99, it was not me. I signed. Come on. You do the best you can. I'll say this, though. there were certain days like you yelled at, bad practice, and it's hotter than you know what. And the last thing
Mike
you want
to
do.
Oh,
my gosh. And it's the last thing you want to do is – stop and sign autographs because you're about to get worn out again in the meeting room. So,
Faith.
No excuses, though.
Faith in Fleming Island thinks Loggy is great. We have to take this.
Gosh. Oh,
absolutely.
Faith, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad there's always a voice of reason in that booth.
Who's that?
And you're. Tony, you're a crazy man, you know?
What? I'm the calm one.
When you and Pete Crisco go at it, I feel sorry for whoever's in there with you.
That's me. That would be me, Faith. Yeah, thanks.
Come on, Faith.
I appreciate all you do, and I love listening to the analysis, and I like listening to you guys talk because I learn a lot as a woman fan, and I just appreciate, the camaraderie and stuff that goes on in there. I'm sure it can be tough at times, but thank you for what you do for the Jaguars here in town.
Thank you, Faith.
Loggeman, you are my favorite.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. He'll sign an autograph for you soon, I'm sure. Yeah, sure.
I think I've got a cup. I actually have a cup with your autograph on it. So there.
Yeah, and that was the same day she asked Tony, and Tony refused.
Yeah, whatever.
No.
Yeah, don't buy that.
Just embellishing a little bit for you. Thank you, Faith.
There you go.
Have a good night, Faith. Oh, I just
cut her off. What are you doing cutting her off, man?
The one Loggemans fan there is.
Don't you ever
one of two Loggemans fans.
Okay, when somebody calls this show and says that I am their favorite, don't you ever cut them off. I will come across that table. Okay, you see that keyboard with the phone pad? I'm going to make that your teeth, okay?
That'd be an improvement, actually. Ron in Gainesville wants to talk.
Gainesville.
Offensive and defensive lines. Let's go in the trenches. Ron, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
All right. It's good to talk to you guys again. I had a two-part question.
Okay.
My first question is to Logs. Have you seen anyone on the linebacker side that stood out to you while you were at practice during the OTA at all?
Besides the starters, you mean?
Yeah, besides the stars, because we know who the three stars are pretty much. I want to know about the depth. That's the part that really bothers me.
Yeah, Jeremiah George is a guy that I mentioned a couple weeks ago to keep your eye on. The guy has some serious quick twitch. He's got great movement skills. Last year had a very short time on the field at Cleveland. Then he got a high ankle sprain, and that pretty much put him on the shelf for the rest of the year. Former fifth-round pick of the Jets. Didn't fit in their scheme that Rex Ryan ran. I'm excited to watch him. I think he's going to impress.
Okay, and my other question was to Tony. Tony, I know you really can't. It's gym class, like they said, out there. But the one thing that you can probably watch is footwork. Who have you seen on the offensive line? Or have you seen – it's a better question. Have you seen as many people on the offensive line with – what you would consider good or NFL standard footwork, because footwork and hand placement for offensive linemen is key. You say it all the time, and you're a pro. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, and I'm pretty sure of that.
Yes, thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. So to answer your question, I mean, I think, listen, there's a bunch of guys with really good footwork. The one who stood out to me is Parnell. I think he has looked outstanding. And you wonder, you know, often at right tackle, you know, you've seen big free agents or decent free agents come in and be good players but not have great feet. And he has great feet. And he's long, he's big. He's been very impressive overall.
As
during,
he should be. During
the OTAs.
Let's get one last call in.
Can I see the picture you took, please?
No, that's okay. Chris from the West Side talking about how you identify a bust. What's up, Chris?
Hey, before I get to my question, JP, I got a question for you.
Oh, I can't wait. Finally. Yes, what's up?
You work with the fine people at Jaguars.com?
Fine in air quotes, yes.
Okay. I go to look for an archive of Jaguars Thursday, and I can't find it, and I get concerned. Like, ooh. I can't rely on it to catch the parts I didn't find when I, you know, on my way home. But don't get me wrong, I got a great appreciation for the hard work it takes. I'm a web programmer myself, but JP, if you got any pull at all, see what you can do. You know, pull some strings to make sure that stuff gets archived.
Well, that's JP's responsibility. You're talking to the man.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get that done, because
there have
been a couple instances. So what's your real question?
Well, speaking of Jaguars.com, Logs, I love Film Room. And I think it's particularly interesting when you talk about a player who has a clear bust, like a clear bust in coverage, or they missed a block. And I'm fond of what Jim Morris said to the media when he said, "You guys think you know what's going on, but you really don't know whether somebody's playing good or bad, and you never will." And I have to know, Logs, if you are identifying a bust, are you ever getting inside information from the coach on whether it was truly a bust, or are you guessing just like the rest of us?
No, I'm not guessing. I can tell you that.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you don't guess in this business, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, wait a second now. I disagree 100%. We don't guess, but there are several people in this business that guess.
I don't guess.
No, but I'm just saying.
I mean, to me,
we watch film.
I think the biggest thing is
we watch film. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We know what the schemes are going to be.
And the biggest thing is that if you're not accurate, you lose respect.
No, but I know. But Jeff, when you say you don't guess in this business, that's not accurate.
No, I know, but I don't.
No, I'm not saying you. I don't either. I mean, when we talk, we usually, if you listen to Jeff and I, most of the time, not always, we cross over a little bit. Jeff, when he talks about film stuff, he's talking about defensive line, linebacker, defensive play. And I'm talking about the offensive line, run game, and stuff like that. We'll both comment on DBs and quarterbacks, and we'll cross over a little bit. But when we're watching stuff, and especially – and Jeff does more of it because he's watching film – I mean, he does the Film Room Friday. But we talk about it after the game. We've spent all night watching the tape and actually collaborating after that about what we saw and then talking to coaches and players of what actually happened.
And let me add something there. When during a game broadcast, sometimes you have to give your best guess.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
But then when it comes to film room stuff, you get your accurate information by watching the film, etc. Also, just since Chris is a big fan of Jaguars.com.
Okay, yes.
Did a couple films coming up for the next 5 weeks where I'm taking people through individualized positional drills.
Like short, like for like Sundance film, like short films?
No, yeah, like short films. You know, a couple minutes of each pop, and I take you through each like different positional drill. For like running backs, you know, we go through the gauntlet, et cetera. And I can tell you.
Do you go through the gauntlet?
At 47 years old. Me doing those drills.
Did you do any offensive line drills?
I did. Watch them because you're going to see somebody that has no business doing those drills ever again.
Who put you through the offensive line drills?
I did it.
Well, I'm
just showing.
I get called. Okay. I wanted to do
that. You know how you got the gauntlet?
You're charged.
We'll break when we want to.
Hey, we want to break now. We're taking a timeout.
All right, break.
We'll go around the league. We'll finish this
break
in just a moment. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Coming up next Thursday night, the annual Jaguars Women's Club Cleats and Cocktails event here at Everbank Field. You guys will be flying solo next week. I'll be upstairs. It's a members-only event for the Jaguars Women's Club. For more information about joining the club, visit jaguars.com/womensclub. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff
Lagerman. What do you do to get involved in that club?
You go to jaguars.com/womensclub and find more information. You probably have to be a woman, I'm guessing. That's just my guess. It's a women's club, Tony, right? Is that fair?
Is that for season ticket holders?
No, I don't think so.
Anybody that would like to come.
I'm just curious.
Right.
Let's go. Let's get
this. It's time for a 360-degree look around the National Football League, presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Dez Bryant showed up to Cowboys minicamp today, did not practice. There's talk that he might miss the start of the regular season if he doesn't get a long-term contract. He's going to show up, right? Are they going to pay him? Is he going to show? What's the deal with this?
Well, he does not have to show up until, I think, week 10 to get the credited season. But he would lose 10 weeks of paychecks at 12.5 million dollars a year.
And they have to get a long-term deal done before July 15th. Otherwise, they have to wait till the end of the year.
Panthers, Dolphins will hold joint workouts and training camp in Spartanburg, South Carolina. They'll play that weekend in Charlotte. Do you like joint workouts? Do you recommend it? What's the difference?
That's fine.
Where are you at with your team? I think that's the important thing. I mean, with this team here, new offensive coordinator, a young team, learning a new system, I don't think it would be a great benefit. But for an established team, yeah, why not?
Well, I think we did it every year after the first couple.
Yeah, it was good.
You mentioned a joint workout where you saw your autograph buddy.
That's right. Yeah, the Redskins, I think that was like an annual thing. But that wasn't like the week leading up to the preseason game.
Yeah, that was different. We used to do like we had 2 days together.
Yeah, it was
really
typically in the like week, either the first week,
week
or
two.
The second.
It was week two.
Yeah, or early week two.
Yeah, change it up a little
to.
Bit.
Yeah.
Wow. Some news today. John David Crow, former running back, died at the age of 79. He won the Heisman Trophy in 57.
Bear Bryant's only Heisman Trophy winner.
At A&M, that's right. Second pick of the 1958 draft to the Chicago Cardinals. Three Pro Bowls there. Another Pro Bowl with the 49ers in 1963.
And let me just say that Tony did not know that. JP had to tell him that prior to the segment.
What are you talking about?
That's right.
So, because Tony was like, and he said, Who?
Right. Oh, don't act like you knew who Mr.
That's
Crow
what I'm
was.
Saying. I said, just like I said,
well,
I said, who?
Well, they got a huge statue of him on the A&M campus right by the football building now.
And is I've it next to Crow? Johnny Manziel's statue?
It's probably a little bigger in
how
stature.
How about Johnny Manziel saying he's not doing the money sign anymore? Yeah. Took the money sign offline. That,
huh? Do you believe him?
I don't care.
No?
I really don't care.
I mean, you know.
I don't think he's ever going to be a good starting quarterback. So
show me you got game in the NFL. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a fan.
I'll be upstairs next week with the women's club.
Have a good time.
No, and no Joe either.
That's right. No Joe.
Kush will be producing.
Kush is going to step in next
week. He's doing a little dry run today. Kush, we have some things we need to work on, but that's okay.
And then the week after, no show on Jaguars Thursday.
Yeah, it's a national holiday. It's, you know, independence. We've got to celebrate.
It's 2 days before the national holiday.
For Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman, Kush, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shatterick. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.